I'm glad when we stumble and fall, it ain't the end of the story. Glad there's a God, Brother Vince, that loves us and died for us. If you got a Bible this morning, 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. I'd like to ask you to remember the McCormick family tomorrow as one of their children's having surgery. Please remember that family tomorrow. Now, 1 Samuel 17. The Lord has laid this passage on my heart. And I'd like to do, maybe if the Lord had helped me, maybe just three Sundays of this. Last Sunday we spoke on battles of the family. This morning we turn over to David. We find out that he met the giant. And for the sake of reading, the Bible said 1 Samuel 17, now, not then. I want to remind you that the Philistine is still around. The battle's still right. Listen to me. Listen. Help me now. I know it's 4th of July weekend coming up. Everybody's scattered, but I need you to listen to your preacher this morning. Help me now. Listen. Now, we're in a battle. Now, our forefathers fought. And if you're going to live for Jesus, you're going to fight. And any church that's trying to go for God, it will always and always has been a battle. And I want you to realize the Bible opens and he says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. Well, if they gathered their army to battle, I will remind you there's still battles where the armies are gathering together today against God's people. And then the Bible said, verse 4, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. And you know the story. They show all of his dimensions and his measurements. And then we find David. He reaches in over there. And we find now in verse number 44, what I want to preach out of, draw that text verse. The Bible said, and the Philistines said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. You may be seated this morning. Father, thank you for the time together in the house of God. I want to thank you, Lord, for these families that's come out this morning. Now, I pray now that, Lord, you'd let preaching be easy. I pray that you'd preach to our hearts. And Lord, would you help us today in our battles? Thank you for the songs of Zion that's been sung. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Did you notice what the Philistine said unto David? He simply said, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air. Now, if a man after God's own heart had to deal with his flesh, I will assure you this, we all going to have to deal with ours. You see, no doubt how spiritual David was. There's a truth there. David was enwrapped in flesh. I want to tell you today that we all are enwrapped in flesh. It's not so much my wife or my children or other people or my problems. A lot of times it's my flesh that is my problem. Is anybody with the preacher? Anybody got flesh problems? They some over here honest, they some over here dead. I say, anybody got flesh problems this morning? Now, I want to say that, first of all, you notice that this giant, he is big in verse 4, gives his dimension. And I'm going to tell you what, not only is he big, but verse 5, he's very bad. He's a bad boy. I'm going to tell you, these giants we face in our life, they're no pushover. And then verse 8, you'll find they're very bold. The Bible said simply this, he stood, cried to the armies of Israel, send me a man to fight. And verse 9, he's very brave. Nothing scares the giants in our lives much. If he'd be able to fight with me and kill me, if he'd be able. Boy, he's brave and he's real braggadocious. You know why the giants in our lives are so braggadocious? Because so many fall by them. So many people that started out walking with the Lord, the giants of this flesh got them. And I want to remind you, not only is he braggadocious, but in verse 16, he's very busy. The Philistine drew near morning and evening. Now, I want to remind you about this. Won't it be a blessing when we that are saved go to heaven and we'll have no more battles of this flesh? This flesh bothers me. This flesh will bother you. Now, real quickly, I want to get down to where I need to get to today. I've started out preaching early, so I'd have plenty of time. Amen. I want to say, first of all, there is a definition of this thing called flesh. How is flesh defined in the Bible? Well, I want to say simply this, that flesh comes from two Latin words, and it means carne and veil or value. In other words, it means flesh value. We have a lot of flesh on us. Now, simply the definition of flesh means this. It means simply when self is on the throne. When self is on the throne. Or it can also mean or the practices of the body. Now, this flesh represents the power of a fleshly life. And so there is a definition of flesh, but let's hold. We're going to come back over to Samuel, but let's go now to Romans chapter number 8, verse number 5. I hope I can be a blessing to somebody preaching this morning. Try to get them some help. In Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 5. You know, people told me a lot about getting saved, and that's the most important thing in your Christian life that you'll ever do is to get saved. But I never had many preachers that taught me about this flesh once I got saved. See, where a lot of folks don't realize just because you got saved don't mean your flesh got saved. Don't mean your mind got saved. This thing of the spirit and soul is what has got saved, not the body, not the flesh. I'll remind you, we're going to get a new body because this one's depraved. This one's eat up with ugly and stink. It's all messed up. And, oh my, there's none good. No, not one. Remember what? It's just some a little bit better in other areas than others. And so I want to say this definition of flesh. But number two, what about the desires of the flesh? I've heard people say, now, preacher, since I've got saved, I have these desires. Could I be saved and still want to drink liquor? Well, sure you could. Don't get quiet on me now. Can I be saved and still watch a dirty movie? Sure you could. Can I be saved and talk ugly? Oh, y'all know that's right. Y'all know that'd be right this month. Sure you can. Now, there is desires of the flesh, Romans 8, verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh, or in other words, that are mainly interested in fleshly affairs, they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. All right, that lets me know, first of all, there's a battle going in me about the flesh and the Spirit. There's a war going on all the time when I'm living for God. When I got saved, I'll be teaching on tonight on in Christ. I'm glad I'm in Christ. Thank God I'm in Christ Jesus. There's one day when He put me in Christ, and Christ came and lived in me, and now there's something going on in me that never happened before. Now God's living up in this temple, and so I got some issues. He don't let me do what I want to do and get by with it. Because this old nature, young people, that's one reason. You better watch yourself while you're young. Don't let your eyes go places and look at things, and don't touch things. You know the old saying, little eyes be careful what you see, and little hands be careful what you touch, and little feet be careful where you go. Because honey, when you get saved, that old mind's going to hit rewind trips to you all the time. And it's going to be battles. I was preaching the other night up in Alabama, and I told somebody I had a struggle with tobacco dipping. I love chewing tobacco. I love it. God won't let me do it, but it don't mean I don't love it. Amen. And somebody said, well, you can't be a preacher if you do that. Honey, I didn't just get up this morning. I know God saved me. I know God called me to preach. And I still like red man. It's a desire of my flesh. Don't mean I'm lost. It means I got an issue with tobacco. And if I got an issue with tobacco, the reason I got an issue with it is because I started when I was 14. I got me some of that brown mule and some day's work. And I got me a plug, Brother Michael, and I hid it in a stump behind the back fence row. And it come a big washing rain. And I went out there to get a chew to my tobacco. And it was big as a baseball cap. My family was always raised on tobacco. I loved it. It was my nature. When God saved me, He got convicted me of what I was doing and I throwed it away. It don't mean I'm lost because I still want to chew tobacco. It don't mean you're lost if you still want to drink. God come walking in your life. Now you got a battle. You got to reposition it. What He's doing, He's a kicking stuff out of there to make room for Him. When He moves in, He said, ain't enough room for me in there. I got to get some of this stuff kicked out of you. I don't want none of that no more in your life. It ain't enough room for me and you both. I've noticed I'm glad God is the bigger person many times. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad one day He moved in, now He's kicking stuff out of you. Stuff that you never thought bothered nobody. Stuff you thought never bothered you. But when God of glory moved in, now stuff is bothering you. Hell, I'm glad we got a God that'll bother us. There's been times I'd love to fool around my sin. I'm just going to be real honest with you this morning. I wish God didn't bother me about it. I don't want to be little God. I want to be your preaching. I want to live by the right testimony. I want to live by the right truth. And I'm going to try to lead you right. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, Brother Randall, about Thanksgiving, I just wish God let me get in a tree stand and enjoy a good chew of tobacco and Him not be up there in that climber with me. And I know some of y'all might not like a preacher that way, but I'm just telling you where I live. Under these battles going on in my flesh every day. Now, there are desires of the flesh. You can't make me think this flesh don't like sin. It does like sin. Don't tell me it don't, because I know better. I live in this body. But I will remind you this, sin is just for a season. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I will remind you, some of you is like me, you got saved out of a bad place. I want to say this, young people, it'll be a lot easier living a Christian life, holy and acceptable and pleasing to God, if you'll keep yourself pure and clean where you're young and don't go where this crowd's going. You'll be able to live a lot better life for the Lord Jesus. The reason I'm tempted in my flesh, because I allowed my flesh to go places this Bible told it to never go. And therefore, it opened avenues to me that now I struggle with this Lord. Oh, am I preaching to anybody today? This is a real world. Hey, the desires of the flesh this morning. Man, when we go and we open up our minds to these places that the Bible said never go, when we get saved, these demons keep infiltrating and tormenting us and trying to drag us back. But ain't you glad one day Jesus moved in and kicked the door out of your soul and moved in your life? And now ain't you glad that holiness pleases Him? God's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to make you holy. God's not trying to make you happy. He's trying to make you holy. Now, the definition of flesh to the desires of the flesh. I want to say that verse number 6 says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace and life. Because the carnal mind, here it is enmity against God. It's at war against it. Your old carnal mind is at war against God. That's why it's so many carnal Christians. And it's sometimes there's a little space there, Brother Paul, where it's hard at times to discern between a carnal Christian and a lost church member. Let me tell you something. God don't let His young'uns go real far. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm glad there's a God that knows all about this conflict. Now, watch. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God in your flesh. But ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, what? Dwell in you. Now, the day you got saved, this Bible teaches that the Spirit of God moved in you. And this is simply what He says. He says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. A light ought to come on right there. I don't care if you are a member of one of the greatest churches in this nation. I don't care if you pay your tithes to God, and you ought to. I don't care if you hand out every tract in our lobby. If the Spirit of God don't live in you, you're not going to heaven. The way you get the Spirit of God is you believe in His Son and you come by the way of repentance and you're born again from above and the Spirit of God comes and lives inside of you. Now, I want to say there's the desires of the flesh. Then there's the deeds of the flesh. Now, these desires of the flesh, but now there is the deeds of the flesh. Now, Paul, he tells us in verse number 13, if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, this is talking about the practices of the body. Let me bring it on in this light right here. You that are saved, watch this. If you live after the flesh, I'm saved. Now, watch, Brother Vince. Watch, Brother Lee. Watch, Brother Jeff. Now that I'm saved, if I live after the flesh once I get saved, look what happens. He says, then ye through the live after the flesh, ye shall die. It brings a separation of the fellowship of God. And therefore you cannot respond to the Spirit of God because you're fleshly. Your mind's all about this world. Doing the way the world acts. And he says, listen, if you let your mind run this thing, it's going to bring death to you. It's going to sever fellowship. And I'm going to tell you, I know there's people who can get out in the world and do wrong. I know I've done it myself. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. There's nothing no worse than a child of God not having fellowship with Jesus. There's nothing that I've ever experienced more in my life than to be out of fellowship with Jesus. Now, I know that don't mean much to some people, but it means a whole lot to your preacher, and it means a lot to a lot of people in this audience this morning. I want to be right with God, and I want to be right with my fellow man. Now, there's nothing no more miserable than a child of God being at all with Jesus. And so these deeds of the flesh. Now, I want to say that in verse 13 he said, that if ye through the Spirit do mortify or kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, we all know that when we got saved, we still have them desires and things of sin that I've done talked about we used to do. But Jesus said if we would kill those things by the Spirit, we could live a victorious life with the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to say this morning. Look, if we could. Now, let's look at this black list of flesh. Don't have to go far. Paul wrote about it. He knew a lot about it. You know, I've noticed this. God will never let a man write a book till he knows something about it. That's why you never hear Joel Osteen writing a book on salvation. He don't know nothing about it. You say, boy, you stay on that bandwagon. I want my people educated. There ain't but one way to heaven, honey. And that's through the Lord. And let me tell you, if a man don't believe that, he don't believe it himself. I tell y'all something else right here. I got Monday night preaching. I sure do like it. I hope I remember this quote a long time. Holy Ghost, give it to me. If you believe in Jesus, why don't you believe in what He said? We doing okay? Now, the deeds of the flesh, watch this. The deeds are the practices of the body. Galatians 5, verse 19. Paul wrote about him and knew something about him. Galatians 5 and verse number 19. Here they are, the blacklist in our Bible. Now the works, let's get 17. For the flesh lusteth, that means wars. The flesh wars against the spirit. It's a battle in us. And let me tell you something right here. You may say, preacher, I sure wish this battle wasn't in there. Well, you might ought to be glad there's a battle in there. Because before I got saved, there wasn't no battles just with my wife and mom and daddy. But when I got saved, now there's war moved in. Now watch your Bible now. I hope this will help somebody. He said, for the flesh lusts is our wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And look, these are contrary the one to the other. You know why we don't have better church services? Because we're not spiritual. Some of you don't want good church service. You got to live out yonder before you get in here to have a good Holy Ghost service. I can tell some of my main men's out this morning filled with the Holy Ghost. I can tell they out. I mean, you that are filled with the Spirit of God, you leave it. If all of y'all leave on Sunday, holler at me. I'm going to go where you are. I'm going to tell you, there's no liberty preaching in a worldly crowd. Amen. That's why you ought to be living for Jesus through the week so you can have church on Sunday. You ought not come to church to get straightened out. You ought to get straightened out yonder. Come here to worship God. Now, here it is. The flesh lusts against the spirit. And he says, these are contrary to one another. Watch this. So that you cannot do the things that you would. Watch that right there. What you going to do with that verse? You saying you going to heaven can live any way you want to. You better line up this book if you're going to heaven. Look what he says now. Look what he says. He says, you cannot do the things you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. I want to say something right there. Underline this in verse 18. I've got so much I know I can't get it out this morning. But I want to show you in verse 18, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. What's he talking about? Well, if you'll be led by the Spirit, your conduct will not come under the condemnation of the law. I hate to be condemned by the law when I do bad. Walking around with condemnation on me. In other words, I've grieved the Holy Ghost. I've grieved God. I've made Him sad. I'm walking around now as a child of God, and I've sinned. I've messed up. I'm living out of fellowship with God. I've come under the condemnation of the law. Makes me feel bad. That's why it's not more victorious Christian. You're living in sin. And honey, when you're right with Jesus, there's freedom and there's grace. But listen to me, when I get off track and when I do something God's not pleasing with, the condemnation of the law falls on me. But I want to remind you something this morning. Jesus took my law on an old rugged cross. I don't have to feel condemned. And the only way I can get this condemnation off of me is to get right with Jesus. Yes, we can sin, we can make mistakes. But you know what I've noticed about serving Jesus, Brother Wendell? He forgives. He's a lot like Baptists, but he's unlike a lot of Baptists. Jesus forgives and forgets. As a child of God, there's no reason you be in feeling the condemnation of the law. If you're saved, what it is, you've got sin in your life. And let me tell you, them Ten Commandments is still right. Thou shalt not. And it brings condemnation. Let me tell you, Brother David, when I'm right with God, CCJ, when I'm right with God, I can read them Ten Commandments all I want to. But when I sin and I'm hiding that sin and I read them Ten Commandments, it brings the condemnation of the law on my soul. And there's no victory in Jesus. We're walking around like, oh Lord, I know I need to repent, but I just can't. Lord, I know I need to get this sin out of my life, but I just can't. Lord, I know I don't need this in my life. But just, well, let me ask you something. Do you want freedom and do you want peace and joy? Or do you want that lifestyle you're living in this morning? My God, it's wonderful to lay down with Jesus back over yonder in that cabin, nobody around, and that dog ain't barking. I like what that old man said about that thing of the conscience. He said, young people, a conscience is God's watchdog of the soul. God's give me and you a conscience. Boy, when I do wrong, I don't like Him barking. Now watch this. Here they are. You're not going to hear many places preaching this morning. I'm not going to preach it mean and angered either. I found myself in many of these in times gone past. And I'm going to tell you this. Watch what it is. Now the deeds of the flesh, Galatians 5. He says, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't have to feel the condemnation of the law. You can have freedom in Jesus. Get you right. Just get your heart right with God. It'll get the law off of you and you get in grace and get freedom. Man, Lord, am I preaching to anybody this morning? I'm so glad I got. Do you understand now why you feel so bad and you're condemned when you sin? Because you fell under the condemnation of the law. And Jesus don't want His children to live like that. That's just like my children, Megan Macy. If they disobey me, and I don't care how many years they've been married, how many young'uns I have, they're going to do what Daddy says at Daddy's house. Some of y'all didn't like that. You ought to move in my neighborhood. You'll do what I say do at my house. Don't you pack your stuff up and hit the road for the glory of God. I pay the bills. By the good grace of God, we keep the grass cut. You don't come to my house. We don't do how you do. You do how we's do. Shake your little head right there. Now I forgot what I was preaching about. But it feels good anyhow. I know, I just now remembered. He said He'd give you a right mind you got saved. I'm still waiting on some of you. Now, if Megan and Macy does something wrong, and they've lived with me long enough, they know what I'm against, and they know. And you know what? They can get out of their car out there in my driveway, and if they're not right with their daddy and their mama, you know what they do? They come in the house in condemnation. Man, I know that daddy's against that, and I've done it anyway. And I even told him in his face I'd done it. My young'un is that way sometimes. No difference in me and you doing it right in front of God. Putting it out there on Facebook. Ain't people crazy on Facebook? Boy, I ain't going to get sidetracked there. I'm preaching. Now listen. You know how they can get that condemnation off? One or two things. First of all, they said, Daddy, I'm sorry. We fit to go your way here. And you know what? They'll get out of that car singing Victory in Jesus. Some of y'all sang Victory in Jesus when you come to church if you get out from under the condemnation of that law. And you know the only way you're going to get out of the condemnation of that law? You're going to have to come clean with Christ and say, Dear God, it is your way. And I can't live anyway without you this morning. My Lord, that's good preaching down in a country preacher. That's good preaching for a country preacher. And look what he says. Some of y'all young couples, look up here at your preacher, I'm fixing to help you. You young people, look up here at your preacher, I'm fixing to help you. You know why I'm fixing to help you? Because I'm fixing to read the Word of God to you. Now this is a blacklist Paul wrote about in the sin. Number one, sins of the appetite. They have to do with sexual things. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are these, manifest. Adultery, it's still wrong. Fornication, it's still wrong. Uncleanliness and lasciviousness, that is a lack of restraint. That is just a total crazy party life. Don't get quiet. We're going to build this swing, but we ain't doing it politicking. We're going to do it preaching. You hear me this morning, young people? You better be careful who you get in long lost places with. Mom and Daddy, you better be careful. You better not trust this flesh as far as you can throw this flesh. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how many verses you can quote. You better not trust you. Appetite 2, adoration. Verse 20, look what it says. Idolatry, witchcraft. Some of you mom and daddies, what you need to do, you need to go in the closets, and if they got them Ouija boards out, you need to go take them and burn them up. Don't throw them in the trash piles for somebody else's kids to get them. Burn the things up. Do you remember as a kid, I was in a seance? We had them Ouija board. And I'm telling you, now some of y'all look at me like, what? Oh, we did. On camp out. Don't be looking at the floor. We're preaching right now, honey. It's amazing what boys do on camp out. Somebody say amen right there. Had us a Ouija board. Brother David, stuff go to moving in the room. That stuff's real. It ain't ghosts. It ain't souls. It's demons. You letting your babies play with demons and you wonder why they're going crazy. Witchcraft. Fortune telling's out of hell this morning. I ain't got to go to no witch and tell me my future, honey. I got it in a KJV sitting right there. Eternal life, hallelujah. You listen to this old preacher. You turn your babies loose, all these fighting men, all these movies, this mass destruction. Why do you think this generation's killing America? They're reprogrammed. The devil's reprogrammed them. You never heard nothing of that, Brother Jay Coney's generation, Brother Wayne's generation. Any of you men ever heard of a young'un taking a gun and blowing people's brains out? You never heard of that. You know why? Your mom and daddy's raised you around a candlelight with the Word of God in church house on Sunday. It does make a difference how you raise your young'uns. You say, well, I ain't standing on that kind of preaching. Well, you're going to get in trouble. That's all I know to tell you. You're going to get in trouble. You better watch what your young'uns are doing. Witchcraft. It's not of God. It's in Paul's black list of sins of the flesh. Witchcraft. There's a witch sent me word, said she's going to have this whole building. Well, she didn't get it. She can have it after the rapture. Some of y'all don't think demons are real. You playing with demons and you wonder why your house is infiltrated with trouble. You're opening doors of places in your life that you don't... Let me tell you something. It's hard... Listen, young'uns. It's hard enough to live for God without asking them demons to come. What do you think pornography is? It's demons. It's demonic. If you look around, it's amazing. Appetites of sin, adorations of sin. Look what it says. Idolatry. Now, I want to ask you something. If anything takes you away from God, ain't that idolatry? Let me go and hit this right here while I done got about half of you mad, and we'll get up to about 85% then. What about the ball game? Why don't they play ball on Friday? Don't you see? What about NFL? When's all that played? Racing, Talladega. How many people sat out in that brawling sun? Quit looking around now. It's just 12 o'clock. My shirts just got wet. We're just now getting in second gear. Don't you understand how America's went to sleep and the devil just sort of eased in? Some of you letting your children do things that your mom and daddy, they'd flip over in their grave if you knowed what they was doing this morning. America's went to sleep. Churches went to sleep. It's just like the frog syndrome. See, the devil knows that in our lives. And did you know when these little sin... And by the way, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You ever notice this? That a sin will come in, it won't entrap you all of a sudden. It just starts easing in your life. And this is what it says, that ain't bad. It's okay. That's okay. Let's make a little room. All of a sudden, it's done got over here and it's done took the whole table over. See, it's like the frog syndrome. If you take a frog and you throw him in boiling water, he'll jump out. But if you put him in it and you just turn the eye up, you'll cook him slam to death. That's where we are in America. That's where we are in our churches. But I remind you something. I tell you this because I love you and I'm not a hireling. Sin's going to get you in bad trouble. It always has. I can tell you some of the greatest leadership in this church to stand up by their preacher and say, you know what? Sin got me in a lot of trouble. Listen to your preacher. And I want to say, this black list, not only of appetites and adoration, but also attitude. Attitude, verse 20. Look what it says, hatred. variants, emulations. That emulation is a word for high-powered jealousy. Man, attitude, wrath, strife. God's people ought not be locked up all the time. You know why churches, there's a lot of reasons churches get in a mess. Number one, a preacher backs off preaching. And then number two, when he does go to, I can tell you a preacher right now has started preaching against sin, and they look at him like, what happened to our preacher? I guess he started reading the Bible. Amen. Honey, we ain't going to shake hands at the back this morning. Attitude. Then, look at verse 21, actions. Talking about sins of flesh now, actions. Envyings, murders. Still wrong to take somebody's life. That's wrong. Abortion's murder. What about this word? Actions. Do you see drunkenness? Can I ask you something? You that's ever been drunk, I won't get you to raise your hand. Because a lot of you lie about it. But you know how you got drunk? You took one drink. And you say, preacher, you mean social drinking's okay? Let me tell you, I don't. I think it'll lead you to a bad wrong. Will it send you to hell? No, it won't. I'm not crazy. But I can tell you this, it don't promote godliness. And it don't promote a healthy environment. You put a bunch of liquor together, a bunch of rednecks, I tell you what you fix to have. You fix to have some bad issues. Man, it's hard enough living with you without you getting half lit. Appetite, adoration. Be careful who you worship. You think, ah, oh, preacher. Be careful. Be careful. Attitude. Old bad spirit, just hate everything, hate everybody. Man, life's a lot better than that. Actions, murder, drunkenness. You see that big word, you don't use it about much, lasciviousness. That's lack of restraint. You see that word, revealings in 21, or revilings, I guess it's revealings. Means simply wild parties. All right, I'm hurried. I'm losing you. It's 12. Later than some of y'all think. The giant of the flesh. I want to ask you something. Anybody have any problems with giants of the flesh? Now, there's, I would say this, if we took a poll this morning, and we asked this crowd and said, everything Brother Ken preached, do you believe it? That's what a lot of you say. Most of it. And then another crowd of you say, oh yeah, I've been hearing that a long time. I know all about it. What, giants is real. It's a real deal. But now, could I ask you something? How do you kill the giant? I found something in the Word of God help me over there by myself. And I pinned these things down. And I wish you'd just give me 10 minutes, and I promise you I'm going to be done this sermon. 10 minutes, I'm done. All right? But I want to tell you how to kill you, giant. We know the giants are real, and they're very effective. We've seen enough. Let me ask you something. How many, would you just be honest with your preacher right quick, how many have seen people fall by a giant? Would you raise your hand? Would you raise them high and be honest? Okay, now let me ask you something. How David killed his giant? Here it is, first of all, watch. He had a passionate eagerness. Look in verse number 20 of 1 Samuel 17. I'm not going to read every verse. I'm going to give you the points. The Lord give me a passionate eagerness. Verse 20, he rose up early in the morning. Let me tell you something. It does matter how we start our day. Don't think you're going to defeat this giant never getting your Bible. Don't think you're going to beat this giant if you never pray. You know what I would like to know, and y'all've got to realize this. Sister Patsy's here. I've got a preacher friend here, and I've got a few families visiting this morning. But this is what I'd like to really know. Y'all know yourself, this is one of the best churches you've ever set foot in. And the reason, because God's here. Now, I just want to ask y'all something as your preacher right now. I want to ask something as your preacher. If I stood every family up on this stage this morning, and I said, where's your altar of prayer? Where do you pray at? I wonder what we'd hear. And the reason I said that, I wonder how many families don't have. Sir, don't you realize you can't be a giant killer if you don't pray? Ma'am, don't you realize that if you don't pray for you and your family, you can't be a giant killer? He rose up early. Number two. Not only a passionate eagerness, but in verse 29, he had a personal engagement. They said, hey, have you heard if you'll go fight this giant, he'll give you his daughter and lots of nice things? He said, is there not a cause? Let me ask you, does God have to pay you to serve him? I mean, are you serving God for what you can get out of it, or do you serve him because you love him? Remember, he told Peter, he said, hey, y'all going away too? They said, where can we go? For thou art Christ. Two, personal engagement. Three, he had a persistent endurance. Verse 32, he said this simply about his heart. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail. You better protect your heart. Better protect your heart. The devil will put stuff in your heart, and it'll lead you to do some bad stuff. He had a passionate eagerness. He had a personal engagement. Is there not a cause? He had a persistent endurance. Then verse 38, 39, he had practical equipment. Saul said, put these on, go fight. He said, oh, no, I ain't proved them. Hey, families. Miss Jennifer, if you'd come, I want you to play this morning. Hey, families. He had practical equipment. You're not going to ever beat this book right here. And they trying everything from swallowing lizards to pony rides. You name it, honey, the Baptist preacher's trying it today to fill their church up. But let me tell you about this prayer. You're not going to be a giant killer till you realize what God's given you is the only thing going to work. He said, I can't go with that new equipment. It won't fit. It was Saul's. He said, don't ask me to go out there in the battle with nothing I ain't proved. See, he had done proved it all on back yonder. How many times has God proved to you prayer still works, sir? How many times? Let me ask y'all something at Liberty this morning. How many times have you seen a preacher, whether it's yours or not, open up this King James Bible and give you a word from the Lord and God redirected your life? You see, he kept practical equipment. Man, I wish they had time to preach there. Verse 44, you know what he said? He said, the battle is the Lord's. He had praiseful enjoyment. Man, this is the Lord's. And then 48, he had powerful evidence. He killed the giant. And the Lord showed me this. And I'm just opening up the altar. I'm keeping my word. And I'm doing good. I've only been 5 minutes in my 10. You know what he done? When he killed his giant, that wasn't enough. He run on him and he stood on top of him. And y'all read your Bible, the giant never had even pulled his sword out of his sheath. He said, hi, look at that little old boy, that slingshot. Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Come on, get you some. He got him, son. The battle is the Lord's. And that stone sunk right in his forehead and he fell down. David run, jumped on a giant, and he pulled the giant's sword out. You know what he done? He whacked his stinking head off. You know why? God, give me this. You know why? He's afraid he'd get up again. You know something, what you better learn to do? When you realize what that giant's name is and how it affects you, you better stand on him. You better not let him up. You listen to me and you listen to me well. There's some big giants in my life I face. I don't like them. They cause me all kind of problems. They cause me problems in my home. And one by one, I'm killing them by the grace of God. There's one I've learned in the last year that I don't want to tell you about, but he's been big. And by God's grace, he's been knocked down flat to the ground. I've stood up on top of it, and I pulled a sword. I said, by the grace of God, you ain't getting up. You ain't getting up. Matter of fact, if some of you'd cut his head off, he wouldn't get back up. I want to open this altar. Anybody having flesh problems? Won't you come this morning? Would you come, mind the Spirit of God today? The altar is open. I'm done preaching. I hope it's been a help to somebody. Would you come this morning? Whatever you need in your life, would you come? Young families, would you come? Realize, well, we're going to battle this flesh till God takes us home. We sure do need the Lord. We need Him to help us in our life. Oh, Lord, our families, how we need Him. Giants of the flesh, I tell you, I've got a whole lot on me. A whole lot in me. Won't you come this morning?